you. Good morning.
Good
to see you again. It's nice to be invited back. It means that I wasn't that bad last time. I'll try and do better this time. These two verses in the New Testament are very, very popular, very famous. I'm going to expand them and hopefully encourage you to be better Christian, and it will encourage me as well. So the first verse is about sacrifice, which I'll open in a moment. The second verse is about the transformation of your mind, resulting with amazing five activities that should follow that. So let's offer our bodies as sacrifices. I want to go back to the Old Testament for this. We know that God's people were under the law, weren't they? They had the Ten Commandments, plus about 650 other rules, regulations to follow. If you have the joy of reading the Old Testament, books like Deuteronomy, you can read all those there. And the people constantly and regularly failed God and disobeyed his law. So Paul uses this Old Testament picture of a living, of a sacrifice of an animal to explain how we are to be a living sacrifice in the New Testament with Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, there were two types of sacrifices. The first one was where the animal would be offered to the priest, and certain parts of it will be consumed, and other parts will be ate by the priest and other people. And those sacrifices were for our sins, yes? All right, so if you were a naughty boy, a naughty girl, you might offer up a rabbit, right? If you're very, very naughty like me, you don't have to offer up a bullet or something. Anyway. But the second sacrifice, which is the one that Paul is alluding to here, is where the whole animal is put on the altar and the whole animal is consumed. So that means that you're demonstrating to the people around you, and more importantly to God, that you are offering your whole life to him. Not just your sin, but you, your body, your personality, your attributes, your gifts, even your bad stuff, it's all on the altar for God, and that is totally consumed as a sweet flavour to the Lord. That was the sacrifice that Paul was alluding to in verse 1. And then he sort of goes into verse 2 shortly after that. But I just want to read a few verses from Hebrews 10. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. So, you know, Paul knew that this Old Testament sacrifice is now over. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have to feel guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And then Paul does this. I want to just draw something out here just to emphasize, to try and work out what it's doing. So in the Old Testament, New Testament, right? In the Old Testament, we have sacrifices, yeah? Many of them. In the New Testament, we have one sacrifice, and that is obviously the Lord Jesus, yes? Right, in the Old Testament, we have the temple. In the New Testament, we have we are the temple of Christ, yes? So all these things are swapping over. So this all came back because in the Old Testament you're under law. In the New Testament we are under grace. So we can see the transition here. Oops. Of what Paul is talking about. Sacrifices were needed under law, under Christ. We have one sacrifice, Christ alone. So I would draw it out there. Here, the law is imposed on people in love out of God's grace to help them realize they are sinful, and by making sacrifices that should help them. But of course, we know that many of them failed miserably, right? But in the New Testament, because Christ died for us, we have the Holy Spirit in us, it's an outward expression. So we're not doing stuff because, you know, our work should come from faith, not because we want to be a goody-goody. So in the New Testament, it's a different ballgame. Our sacrifice is to lay our whole life, once and for all, at Calvary's feet and say, Lord, you're my Lord, you're my Saviour, you're my God, you're my King. So this is a vast difference to especially Jews in the New Testament. This is a complete upheaval of what I've been learned and studied for thousands of years. So I want to sort of take this apart a little bit and understand that our Lord designed this particularly for us. In Ezekiel 36, we read this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Yeah? Ezekiel 4 telling this. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to my laws. The Lord, through Christ, through his grace, we have a different relationship. I would surmise to say, this is religion, this is relationship. You know, we do not enter by the blood of goats and lambs, but we are entered through the cross. When the Bible talks about you and I and tries to express what we need to be and how we act, how we have to act, the word often uses the heart. Yeah? And if I love my wife, I love her with all my... I don't understand her, but I love her. Now, because love covers everything. And believe you me, even now, my wife and I just, wow, where did that come from? Left field, you know. But I love it, you know, we've been married for a long, long time. But you see, I just want to read a few verses about the heart, and this comes out a bit later in part two, about being transformed. We know this, Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your strength. Trust in the Lord with all your and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. Remember that verse when I talk about transformation. The heart and the mind are connected. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And so many get that wrong today. So many people. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. These people, Jesus talks about religious people. The religious people, all their stuff on, he called them dead. He called them open graves. You see, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. A person may think, Proverbs 21, may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So again, we're moving into a new era, a new relationship with God, where once we've laid our whole life for him, out of that should come all the stuff that we're going to talk about. And all these and many other scriptures use the heart as a metaphor. Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So it's here first, then that. If it's not here, whatever you do with this is false and not valid. But when you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and you lean not on your own understanding, you'll have a fantastic life, honestly. It's great. And God is so powerful when we give our whole life to him. I want to now go to the main sort of part of this message, having set the scene of where we are, the transformation of the mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. Let me just tell you something, spiritually and physically, which we all know it needs to be sort of spelled out, really. That our mind and our heart are totally connected. Yes? From the mind, you go to the heart. From the heart, you go to the mind. Do you realise there are 30,000 neutron chemical nerve endings that are directly connected between your heart and your mind? When I hold a new grandchild in my arms, I feel all warm and fuzzy. Because what I see, what I feel, what I touch, and probably what I smell, impacts me. So we have these five senses that are connected to our heart, and they go both ways. If you're in a panic, suddenly adrenaline will start to flow through your body very, very quickly. Because what you see impacts your heart and your mind, yes? So it's interesting that the Lord is saying, be transformed by the renewing of this, your mind, yeah? So the mind has a lot to play on our heart. Because what we see, what we feel, what we smell, what we handle, another one, what we hear, our five senses are impacting us all the time. There's no moment in your life when your five senses aren't impacting you. And the word there for transform is the Greek word metamorphosis, right? Long word, isn't it? That's good for a lad from Birmingham. Anyway, metamorphosis, right? It's the same word that we use when a caterpillar goes into a chrysalis and comes out a butterfly. Yeah. Now, I must admit, I haven't seen many caterpillars around, but when I was a kid, we used to play with them, a little furry one. And most caterpillars aren't very pretty, really. And some people have to marry a caterpillar. Anyway, whatever happens, right. But the transformation means that from that chrysalis, from that amazing process that God has ordained, out flies the most beautiful creature. I think before the Lord changed me, I was a pretty rotten caterpillar. But you're not a butterfly because you're allowed to fly. Allowed to rise on the wings of a dove, the Bible says. So this renew our mind is so, so important. 2 Corinthians 3 says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. This transformation comes by the renewing of our mind. I've done some research on this. Some of you may know, I'm under a neurologist because I have terrible, what they call, cluster headache. They just wipe me out. They just knock me out for weeks, and the pain is agony. Anyway, I am not a neurologist, but I do realise that the brain is quite a complex thing. And so when the Lord said transforming of your mind, I started to dig around and thought, how does this work, you know? Because my wife has tried to change my mind many times. It never works. But the Lord says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word renew, by the way, you know, the Bible says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed renewing your mind. As an engineer, if I was wanting to make lots of car engines or whatever component, I would have a pattern made of, let's say, the cylinder head. You know, it's a part of a car, it's all right. So this pattern we made exactly to the drawing of the designer. Right, every millimetre or thou is absolutely accurate. From that pattern, you will then make everything else. Right, so this is the word here. Renewing sort of something back to a pattern. And that pattern is our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't renew our mind or renew our thoughts towards an idea or this ism or that ism. It is all to do with following Christ. He is our pattern. So the Lord wants us to go, well, renewing our mind, back to how Christ wants us to be. Yeah? Which is encapsulated in the Old and New Testament. So that pattern is given to us through the Spirit. I found a book by a Christian neurologist called Dr. Caroline Leaf, from which I'll get some of this information for you. And it's brilliant. But it's all Bible, because what happened, you see, when this was written, and the Lord said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Lord knew our minds are malleable. He knew that our minds can change. He knew that our minds can be reformed. He knew that our minds can go back to his original pattern. Well before neurologists knew that, he knew that. Philippians 4 verse 8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So again, you're back from the mind. If you want to, like I look at how many scriptures are on this topic, there are lots and lots of them. I'm just trying to pull out a few. Renewing our mind. Let me just show you something, which is quite interesting. And if you can't see the chart, it might be an idea, if I move it a bit forward maybe. Right. In our mind, there are things called dendrites. Now, dendrite is a Greek word for tree, all right? So in our mind, we have, and if you look under an electron microscope, they do look like leaves and trees, right? So, well, it's supposed to be green, it's more like blue anyway. But we have these trees, right? Thousands and thousands of them. Now, what this doctor says, and it's been well researched now, she calls it the breeze through the trees. So all our five senses go through these trees, yes? Now, some are positive and some are negative, right? And what happens, and we do this subconsciously, if we don't arrest it and think about it, we take on this input, five senses, touch, etc. And what happens, these little senses impact neurons in the brain on these trees, on the dendrites, yes? And they build pathways into the brain. It is a very simple overview, by the way. So let's say, for instance, I know none of you here do it, but let's say you pick up a negative one and you watch pornography, which is pretty bad, actually. What happens? This pathway gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So what started like a little path through the forest becomes a motorway. And this thing overtakes your mind. And you become addictive, yes? However, if you read the Bible and pray and have fellowship and sing worship, all this positive stuff and be a nice person, a nice husband like me, all this positive stuff, again, it will build pathways, I'll talk about this lately, in a minute, on the positive side. What if Philippians said, whatever is good, whatever is wholesome, whatever is trustworthy, think on these things. And obviously, we have the power, mostly, to not think about things. If you don't watch naughty stuff, it won't impact your mind, will it? If you don't read naughty books, it won't impact your mind, will it? If you don't mix with the wrong company, it won't impact your mind, will it? It's very important that we get this. So these pathways are built, and they are built over time. For instance, But they know that if a little child is being told you're useless and you're a waste of space, that they believe it. And they've built a motorway in their mind, and it takes a lot of digging up to get that out of their mind. You know, Proverbs says, as a man thinketh, so he is. How you and I think is who we are. The heart and the mind are connected. We think here and we speak it out. Let me show you something. Let's say this is a normal cup. Now, you don't know what's in here. It could be water, it could be coffee, it could be tea, it could be, you know, it could be paraffin, it could be anything, right? But us Christians have all this stuff inside us, what we think. But very often it only comes out when we get upset. And it spills out. And people think, wow, where did that come from? Because for years, well, there's been this pathway hidden in their mind. Somebody once said that Christians are like tea bags. The real flavour only comes out when they're in hot water. And it's true, because you can hide from me who you are. I mean, I think this bloke's lovely. And I know he is really, but I don't know him that well, but the Lord knows him. The Lord knows all of us. So what we think, what we read, what we do, what we say, what we feel, what we touch, all this input is blowing through our minds all the time. And then this makes us who we are. So we've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's an American saying, and it's very, very true. We've all heard it before. Garbage in, garbage out. And so I have a son-in-law who's a lovely lad. He's denied God, he's anti-God. He's lovely. But the stuff he does is garbage. So it helps me to, okay, I can forgive Sean because I know he's letting this happen. And it helps me to understand him better. Because the way he thinks is because of the inputs he's had, the films he watches and what he does. You know what I mean? And it really opens up my mind to understand other people. Eventually, our inner thoughts and motives will come out. As a pastor for many years and still doing leadership stuff, I'm no longer shocked by what people reveal to me, what Christians even reveal to me. Because for years they've held these wrong pathways in their mind, and they need help to break it up. They need input from the Holy Spirit to break out that tarmac which is causing them pain and anxiety. I will show you this quickly for the time, but I tried to make it easy for you, right? Oh, that's another one I did, sorry. The difference between religion and spirituality. You know, a lot of people, anyway, full story, right. So this is our mind and brain, yes? Can you all see us at the back in the cheap seats? And this is very quick, and it's a schematic. I've tried to understand it more, it's quite complicated. So these dendrites and trees have these pathways which are electrically charged neutrons, which are either positive or negative, and they go to the thalamus and the hypothalamus, right? And this is where the chemicals are generated. Do you know you're very chemical? You know that? I mean, how many of us have a headache and we take a little pill and it goes? You know, and how many are kept alive now with chemicals? You know, our body is a big chemical factory. So what happens? These electrically charged neutrons go to the hypothalamus and then they pass down to the amygdala, which is where our passions and emotions rest, and then into our memory bank in the hippocampus. And then this lot down here, our memory and other stuff, can impact here. So for instance, let's say, I'll keep it simple, I want you to do something, then my mind reminds me, hang on, Bob, don't do that, because this happened last time, it wasn't good. So you go back to where all these dendrites are formed, and you remember a pathway that you went down before, right? This is where you have to think on these things the Bible says. You think on your motive. You think on your desires. You know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So you think about these things, and then that can then alter this situation up here. And like I said earlier, the breeze through the trees never stops. You know, even when you're asleep, you have dreams or not dreams. Some you can remember, some you can't. You might have nightmares. All this is all happening down here in the hypothalamus, where your brain is trying to, you know, untangle all these thoughts, etc. Do you understand this more or less? Yeah? So the good thing is this, going back to the scripture, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The thing is, you and me can change by thinking about stuff. I think I should pray more. Yeah, that's good. I think I better go to church this morning, even though the preacher's boring. That's good, go to church. Yeah. You think on this stuff, because what you think eventually comes out. These 30,000 plus neutrons in my heart, between the heart and the mind, are constantly in communication. You know, you can change your brain. You can renew your mind. Dr. Caroline Neem calls them toxic thought. You either have positive thought or toxic thought. Jealousy, rage. When you look at somebody else's car, you say, ooh, I could do the better car. I did this one. My mate, who's a fellow pastor in this church, I helped run him popes down. He got himself a new car. I thought, hang on a minute. Yeah. Well, not, you know, what it's a hybrid, you know. My car's a low breed, anyway. And idiot me, you know, look at the internet, you know, and I start to look at, because I think, I need a new car, yeah. But it was toxic. I didn't need a new car, I was just being jealous, yeah. So eventually what I did, I polished my car, cleaned it out, and it's all right now. Yeah, because when you think on these things, whatever is good, you know, you will change your mind. The trouble is, us Christians don't think enough. When you meet somebody and you see their body language change, say, how are you, bro? You're all right. And you open your conversation to what you thought about your brother or your sister. You know, it's not all about you or me. It's about us. Living, running, walking together on our journey from earth to heaven. And obviously one of the things I think about now, because I'm getting quite old, one day you and I will be transformed into his likeness. Amen. That which is corruptible will be incorruptible. Hallelujah. Now that is a caterpillar story, that is. And that's going to happen one day. God can do that. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. We will totally transform. Hallelujah. But in the meantime, we have to do our bit and really understand what God is trying to do. Another verse about the mind, Romans 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Sets their mind. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. That's why this country and this world is immoral and anti-God. It cannot comprehend what we're talking about. Well, 1 Corinthians 2, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him. This is powerful, that we have the mind of Christ. The moment you became a Christian, the moment you gave your heart to him, you have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Your mind is pure. Your mind is just powerful. If you renew it and think on it and activate your thought processes, you can take down the negative, toxic pathways in your life. And by God's help, you can help others do the same. It's called counselling, CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy. It's all about this. They say that thoughts are actual, they take up space in your mind. They occupy these little neurons, and they're there, pulsing away with you. Choose your mind to push through these changes. Read scripture. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Not just a sin offering, Lord, I'm sorry I did this, or I'm sorry I said that. A whole offering, where all of you is on the altar. And then, do not conform to the pattern being of Christ, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is my final thought. Then you will be able to test and improve what God's will is. When you think about who you are in Christ, when you think about your place in this church, your place in a family, when you think about your place at work, when you think about who you are in Christ, whenever and wherever you go, you will then do this. You will then be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. So the result of a transformed mind is a person who knows where he is, knows what God wants him to do. Some years ago, I was leading a church, 120 people, Pentecostal church in Bayside, great church, fantastic. Well, I'm biased, obviously, but anyway. And we had lots of things going on. But the Lord told me to step down. It really, really hurt. So I stepped down, went through some pretty tough time, but now I know why I was supposed to step down. So I made that decision in my mind, not knowing the outcome. But I knew that I could be happy knowing that I will be in God's perfect will. So think. I just pray, Lord, you'll bless these people. I pray by the power of your Spirit, we're all, and me, Lord, we'll all have our minds set on you. That our pattern is you, Lord. And we don't let any toxic stuff enter our brain. We get rid of it straight away. Lord, help us to be open people. We know hidden agenda, no secret sins that are driving us wild. If they're there, Lord, help us to break that by your Spirit and get rid of them. Help us, Lord, to lay our whole life on the altar for you, for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.